We're in a new series in 1 Corinthians over the next few weeks. What happens when someone becomes a Christian? What does it mean for their day-to-day life? What does it mean for the future? Well, come along with us and see how Paul answers that question over the next few weeks. 1 Corinthians 15, 1 to 34. Now, brothers and sisters, I want to remind you of the gospel I preached to you, which you received and on which you have taken your stand. By this gospel you are saved if you hold firmly to the word I preached to you. Otherwise, you have believed in vain. For what I received I passed on to you as of first importance: that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day according to the scriptures, and that he appeared to Cephas and then to the 12. After that, he appeared to more than 500 of the brothers and sisters at the same time, most of whom are still living, though some have fallen asleep. Then he appeared to James, then to all the apostles. And last of all, he appeared to me also, as to one abnormally born. For I am the least of the apostles, and do not even deserve to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am, and his grace to me was not without effect. No, I worked harder than all of them, yet not I, but the grace of God that was with me. Whether then it is I or they, this is what we preach, and this is what you believed. But if it is preached that Christ has been raised from the dead, how can some of you say that there is no resurrection of the dead? If there is no resurrection of the dead, then not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, our preaching is useless, and so is your faith. More than that, we are then found to be false witnesses about God, for we have testified about God that he raised Christ from the dead. But he did not raise him if in fact the dead are not raised. For if the dead are not raised, then Christ has not been raised either. And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile. You are still in your sins. Then those also who have fallen asleep in Christ are lost. If only for this life we have hope in Christ, we are of all people most to be pitied. But Christ has indeed been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For since death came through a man, the resurrection of the dead comes also through a man. For as in Adam all die, so in Christ all will be made alive. But each in turn, Christ the first fruits, then when he comes, those who belong to him. Then the end will come when he hands over the kingdom of God to God the Father, after he's destroyed all dominion, authority and power. For he must reign until he has put all his enemies under his feet. The last enemy to be destroyed is death. For he has put everything under his feet. Now when it says that everything has been put under him, it is clear that this does not include God himself, who put everything under Christ. When he has done this, then the Son himself will be made subject to him who put everything under him, so that Christ may be all in all. Now, if there is no resurrection, what will those do who are baptized for the dead? If the dead are not raised at all, why are people baptized for them? And as for us, why do we endanger ourselves every hour? I face death every day. Yes, just as surely as I boast about you in Christ Jesus our Lord. If I fought wild beasts in Ephesus with no more than human hopes, what have I gained? If the dead are not raised, let us eat and drink, for tomorrow we die. Do not be misled. Bad company corrupts good character. Come back to your senses as you ought, and stop sinning. For there are some who are ignorant of God. I say this to your shame. We make all sorts of decisions on whether something is worth it. We're hopefully about to enjoy better weather. And hopefully that means time for holiday. Now, I don't know about you, but planning for holidays always makes me wonder, is it worth it? The research on where to go. Hours scrolling, thinking, I have to find the best deal. That adds to it. The packing starts days ahead for some of my family. Hours before for the rest of us. The game of Tetris that dads have to do, filling the car boot with that immovable, totally uncollapsible plastic container that simply isn't going to budge but absolutely has to come on holiday with you. The squabbles on the journey. Who gets to sit where? Are we there yet? The hours of driving. The hours and the hours and the hours of driving. Is it worth it? So as we've gone through these past chapters of 1 Corinthians, there's been a lot of things to do. For instance, the effort of thinking we instead of me. The social dangers of calling out sin in the church, perhaps at the cost of friendship. And more specifically, in the last few chapters, the emphasis on speaking, or as we've said, prophesying. Why would you speak? I mean, is it worth it? Does it really matter? Sometimes the only thing we can see in our minds is the eye roll of the person we're speaking to. Jesus? Again, really? Is it worth it? Is it in vain? I mean, if I'm going to speak, if I'm going to live it out, if I'm going to be putting things on the line, it had better be worth it. It had better be true. So the question this chapter is raising for us this evening is extremely relevant to each and every one of us. Is belief in Jesus in vain? Well, have a look down at verse 58 of this chapter, the very end of this chapter. We didn't read it just now, but this is the application. This is where Paul is heading everything to. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 58. Therefore, in light of everything I've just said, my dear brothers and sisters, stand firm. Let nothing move you. Always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labour in the Lord is not in vain. Do you see there? Paul's goal is to get his readers, the Corinthians and us, to stand firm and to always give themselves fully to the work of the Lord. And that requires that they know that their labour in the Lord is not in vain. So we think about the Christian life. We can become demotivated. Is it really going to change anything? Does this really matter? Is this worth it? Well, Paul's answer this evening is that the resurrection changes everything. Is belief in Jesus in vain? No, because Jesus has been raised. See, this chapter here this evening moves us from being part of a social club that meets on a Sunday to being something far more significant. The church is a new creation reality. The news, the words, the speech we have really matters. So this chapter should motivate us to get on with the task at hand, to live God's way whilst we wait, and more specifically, to speak, to prophesy as we wait for Jesus' return. Let's see how it does it, shall we? First thing to see this evening, Jesus really rose from the dead. Verses 1 to 11, chapter 15. Jesus really rose from the dead. Paul wants us to be absolutely crystal clear on that fact. He wants us to be really certain of that fact because it changes everything. Paul runs through the Corinthian timeline again. He's done this a few times through the letter. Have a look at verse 1. Now, brothers and sisters, I want to remind you of the gospel. The gospel I preach to you, the gospel which you received, the gospel on which you have taken your stand. Paul wants to remind the Corinthians of that gospel because it's easy to forget. What do we have there? Paul came to Corinth speaking, prophesying the gospel. He delivered it, as chapter 3 said, faithfully. He took it from God and passed it to the people. The Corinthians received the gospel. And as they received the gospel, they became part of the fellowship of the Son. And then the Corinthians took their stands. They lived it out. The gospel changed the way they lived their lives. And so verse 2, that is the gospel that has saved them. If they hold on to what has been preached. If they do not hold on to it, you see that verse 2, if they don't hold firmly to the word preached, then it has all been in vain. If they don't hold to the gospel, their belief is in vain. So what was preached? What is the gospel? Verses 3 tells us Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures. He was buried. He was raised on the third day according to the scriptures. The power of death could not keep our Saviour down. But notice where Paul places the emphasis in this passage. The cross, less than a verse. 3 days in the tomb, a third of a sentence. But the fact that Jesus was raised takes up a lot more space. This is where Paul wants to place the emphasis on the raisedness of Jesus. That's what matters here. And that raisedness is something Paul wants the Corinthians, and he wants us, to be sure of. Because that is what makes all the difference. If you believe that, Paul says, you are saved. It is that, verse 10, that makes God's grace not without effect, or again, not in vain. Paul's life shows that. Paul turned from hating Jesus to loving Jesus' body. What did that? It was encountering the risen Lord Jesus. The very thing that caused Paul to take that gospel to the end of the earth. Jesus really rose from the dead. See the other witnesses there as well. Jesus rose from the dead. Paul saw him. The apostles saw him. 500 others saw him. Jesus really rose from the dead. This is not hearsay. This is history. This is not fiction. This is fact. That truth is the start of the Corinthian journey. As Paul preached that truth to them. The call to believe, the summons into God's new creation reality came because Jesus really rose from the dead. That is the truth that changes lives. Jesus really rose from the dead. But if that wasn't true, that would change everything too. That's the second thing to see this evening. If Jesus was not raised, then faith and preaching are in vain. 12 to 19. You see, if Jesus wasn't raised, if it's all untrue, then there is no reason to speak. The words have no power. There is no reason to live any differently to the world out there whilst we wait. There is nothing to wait for if the resurrection isn't true. Every sacrifice you've made is pointless. Every moment of living differently is useless. Every mention of Jesus from your mouth, complete waste of time. If there's no resurrection, then Jesus didn't rise. And verse 14, if Jesus didn't rise, then preaching is useless and faith is useless too. Speaking and living for God is pointless. I mean, that's what the world thinks, isn't it? The resurrection didn't happen. People don't rise. What are you talking about? Poor Christians. Poor deluded Christians. And let's face it, we can end up thinking the same sometimes, can't we? We all face moments of doubt. Is this real? Am I investing in a lie? And as we think that way, it affects our decisions. I'm not going to open my mouth right now. I'm not going to live that way right now. We start to invest in our world here and now, just in case. Hedge our bets. But in fact, it's worse than that. The news gets worse. Look at verse 15. Paul's big goal of pointing people to the one true God, well, it turns out to be idolatry. It turns out to be not telling the truth about God. And that means, carry on down, verse 17, means we're still doomed. We're still stuck in our sin. In fact, the whole of humanity has no hope. It's all stuck. And then verse 18, those who have died are lost. You see, the resurrection changes everything. Then look at verse 19. If only for this life we have hope in Christ, we are of all people most to be pitied. See, the world's verdict would be right. YOLO, as they say. That is, you only live once. And, well, Christian, you blew it. You wasted your life. Or living for Jesus, doing all that Paul has called us to do in the wait, it's been a complete waste of time. But before you leave, totally knocked down, hopefully you're thinking there's something wrong here. Well, just notice everything Paul says here, the opposite is true if the resurrection is true. we have a greater reason to speak, a greater reason to live this out. Our lives, Christians, are worth it because we are living for the King. Our lives are worth it because we're investing in the future, which is the great goal of all of history. Our lives matter because our sins are forgiven. Our brothers and sisters who have died are not lost. The resurrection changes everything. And more than that, our resurrection is secured because Jesus was raised, verses 20 to 28. He was raised, so we will be too. Just listen to the amazing word. The amazing word at the start of verse 20, but. But Christ has indeed been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. The resurrection of Jesus secures our future. But Christ has indeed been raised from the dead. And that means history is going somewhere. That means there is a future. That language there, first fruits, it's there in verse 20. It's important. First fruits is an agricultural metaphor. It's found throughout the Bible. The Israelites would give their first fruits to God from their sacrifices. That is the first produce from their harvest. The first from their flock. The important thing to know is that is part of the whole. It is representative of the whole harvest that's coming. The whole flock. It means that more is coming after. Christ being raised from the dead is the start of that harvest. And so, the rest of that harvest is coming. Jesus' resurrection is more than a simple guarantee that more is going to come later. It is more because it actually is the beginning of that event. Jesus' resurrection and our resurrection are all part of the same event. And that makes sense of what we've seen in 1 Corinthians. If we are Jesus' body and Jesus has been raised, we can be sure that his body is going to be raised too. We share in Christ. We have a participation in Christ. We are part of the fellowship of the Son. That's what Paul's saying in verse 21 onwards. He explains the logic. Now have a look at verse 22. In Adam, all die. Everyone who's in Adam dies. Those represented by Adam die. That's what people in Adam do. Those who follow Adam in their rejection of God die. But those in Christ are made alive. Christ first as first fruits. And then when he returns, those who belong to him. The grand story that started in Genesis finishes at Jesus' return, as faith is turned to sight. The resurrection changes it all. And then the end comes, verse 24, when Jesus' task of returning worship to the one true God is complete. When every knee bows and every tongue confesses. When all dominion, authority and power are defeated. When the Son of Man takes his place at the right hand of God. When the King of the Psalms has all his enemies under his feet. When the last enemy, verse 26, is destroyed, death itself. That is the grand story arc of Scripture. That is the grand story arc of this world. That is what was secured when Jesus rose from the dead. You see, being a Christian is far more than a social club. Because the resurrection changes everything. Life has a direction. Life has a purpose. Because of the resurrection, church is more than a social gathering on Sunday. Because of the resurrection, Christianity is more than an opinion. Because of the resurrection, it's part of a new creation reality. And on that day, the Son will hand over everything to the Father. Mission complete, task achieved, glory restored. And that all comes through speaking and believing now. Your labour is not in vain. As people are called by God through the preaching of the word, remember this morning, all believers preach, all believers share that gospel. As believers live now, waiting for Jesus' return, as they speak, as they prophesy about the Lord Jesus, and more people get called, repeat again and again, the cycle continues. Jesus was raised. And so we will be too. And so that explains what's happening right now. Final point this evening. This is the only truth that makes sense. Verses 29 to 34. This is the reason why people get baptized. Verse 29. Might seem a strange verse at first, but notice, who are the dead people in 1 Corinthians 15? Well, the dead people in 1 Corinthians 15 are those who are joined to Jesus. Those who want part of Jesus' life. Those who were in Adam. Those who are dead but are joined to Jesus. Those who want to be raised. Verse 29 might seem weird, but it's simply talking about baptism. And so Paul's question here is, why would dead people want to be baptized if there's no resurrection? I mean, what is the point? Baptism marks you as following Jesus, as dying with Jesus, as being joined to Jesus, as being part of the fellowship of the Son. So if there's no resurrection, well, baptism's pointless. It's just a dead person going into water. But there is resurrection because Jesus has been raised. Baptism matters. Or another picture, verse 30. Why do people like Paul endanger themselves every hour? Or further, verse 31, why does Paul face death every day? Why, verse 32, does he fight wild beasts in Ephesus if there's no resurrection? That'd just be stupid. Like going out to Whipsnade and climbing in the lion enclosure. Be a waste of time. If there's no resurrection, Paul would be better off facing the facts and doing what the world does. What's that, verse 32? If the dead are not raised, let us eat and drink, for tomorrow we die. See, those are the words of people facing judgment with no hope. They're from Isaiah chapter 22, as judgment is falling on Israel. And those words are totally true if there is no resurrection. YOLO. Why would you face ridicule and sacrifice comforts, if this wasn't true? That's the point, isn't it? Jesus was raised. Paul's relentless dedication makes sense only because he was certain of the resurrection. Faith is worth it. Preaching, speaking for God are worth it because we will be raised too. So getting baptized and speaking of Jesus are worth it. So don't think that way. Paul warned the Corinthians back in chapter 6. He warns them again here, verse 33. Do not be misled. Bad company corrupts good character. Don't be misled by those who deny the resurrection, because if you deny the resurrection, it changes everything. It's going to change what you do right now. You're not going to live for God if there is no point. You're just going to go the way of the world. Instead, Paul says, come back to your senses as you ought. Stop sinning, for there are some who are ignorant of God. I say this to your shame. Paul is saying here, live in light of the resurrection. Come to your senses, see the evidence. Let it motivate you now to live for God now. Let it motivate you now to speak for God now. Don't ignore what God is doing. Instead, be part of it. And so that big application we saw, verse 58. Therefore, my dear brothers and sisters, stand firm. Let nothing move you. Always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labour in the Lord is not in vain. Paul's argument isn't finished yet. You can see how he's going to get there. But live in light of eternity. If we lose our grip on eternity, on the resurrection, we will become demotivated. We will become disenfranchised. We will become demoralized. We'll start to live life for the now instead of the future. We'll fix our eyes down rather than fixing them ahead. We won't live. We won't speak. Because we've got no reason to. It'd be like looking at the sat nav in your car, saying hours and hours and hours to go and just giving up, instead of the grand finale of arriving on holiday. In fact, more than that. It'd be like looking at the sat nav in your car, saying hours and hours and hours to go, and ignoring your friend who's on FaceTime, who's already arrived and is giving you a tour around the holiday you're going to see in the future. It's crazy, isn't it? We need to fix our eyes on the goal of history. The goal that is reality now in the Lord Jesus. Live life in light of eternity. So is belief in Jesus in vain? Absolutely not. Jesus has been raised. This truth changes everything. So stand firm. Let nothing move you. Always give yourself fully to the work of the Lord. For you know that your labour in the Lord is not in vain. Live in light of the resurrection. and let the truth of that set your heart on fire.
Thank you so much for listening to the podcast. Any questions can come to podcast email podcast@david-couch.com. And I'll see you next week.